I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into a very special edition of the Crimson Court. I am Michelle Bodkin, your Utah Utes insider for KSL Sports, and I am pleased to bring in Lavale Sape, his wife Sarah, and Kavika Kaskow to talk about their efforts with the Sape Foundation to help the people of Maui after a devastating fire took out everything on the island. Lavale and Kavika both played football for the University of Utah, and the Utes have agreed to help push their cause due to the close-knit nature between Utah athletics and the people who live on the islands of Hawaii. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. Please go ahead and introduce yourselves a little further.
Thanks for having us, Michelle. So we looks like Kavika jumped on as well. I'll introduce ourselves and then introduce Kavika too.
Yeah.
So Lavale Sape, he's a University of Utah football alumni and retired NFL player as well. Played under Ron McBride, and Kyle Whittingham was coaching there with us. Yep. And I'm a University of Utah alumni, and I also tutored the football players. So big connection with the sports group there. Kavika Kaskow, who is joining us, we flew him in. He is Sape's teammate from the University of Utah. So he's a Utah football alumni as well. Played under Ron McBride, Urban Myers, and Kyle Whittingham was there, of course, through the whole time as well. And Kavika is born and raised Lahaina, and he's also a fireman on Maui. And we're grateful to have him with us today because we're happy he's alive. We're happy his family is safe. And we're grateful that we have this opportunity to share with you. Both Sape and I are from Maui as well. We moved to Utah 5 years ago from Maui. And our son who passed away is buried on Maui. So we have a deep connection there. My family lives there. They were evacuated, but they are safe, which we cannot say. I'm sorry. We can't say that about everyone who we know and love. But our goal is to assist our families back home, assist our community.
Now, Lavale, talk about having this connection with the University of Utah football team and them being, and just Utah athletics in general, and them being so willing to kind of help push your cause, and them recognizing the importance of helping Maui because of, you know, the connection with so many players, so many families and alumni.
Absolutely. First of all, I just wanted to thank my University of Utah family, Coach Kyle Whittingham, Coach Ron McBride, the athletic director, and also the president of the school. We're very grateful to have a lot of good people, and that's the ohana that we bring into our university. And I'm very blessed with my family that nobody has lost lives in that perspective. But a lot of my friends and some of the people there are unfortunate. Very blessed the fact that we can have the foundation to help those who are in need. We always say that a lot of people have gone to Hawaii, and Hawaii have shared their aloha with the world when they visit there or they somehow go there to visit the islands. But at this time, we are in need because the island of Maui and Lahaina, my Lahaina people, your aloha. So that's why we're reaching out to the world and grateful for the University of Utah to help us get the word out. They are in dire need. There's a lot of kids that are lost at this time. People and families are going to be put out here in the next couple of, in a month, there's going to be a lot of homelessness. There's a lot of suicides are happening because they're lost. So I would like to talk about my career and what's going on, but this is very important.
Mm-hmm.
We need your help. We need hands. We need the love of our family here from Utah to help those back at home. I'm very grateful to have Kavika Casco. We flew him all the way from Maui. He almost lost his life with his family and his brother all the way here to Utah. You'll see them when we honor them at the game. But all I can say is please help us get the word out. Just $5 will help those who are in need at this time. So, mahalo.
So what is the SAPE Foundation's goal in trying to administer aid to Maui?
So I actually flew to Maui, and I just got back on Monday. I wanted to go see, one, my family to make sure they were okay, because my mom, my dad were there, my sister, they were evacuated up in Kula. I wanted to check on our home because we still have our home there. And I wanted to see the people. I wanted to check on how everyone was doing and what were the real efforts. How are people getting help and what they need? And so we met with local community leaders, and they asked us up SAPE Foundation for very specific goals. Because our foundation was founded for our son, Peyton, who passed away and who was buried on Maui, we have a deep connection to these parents who have lost their children. There's 500 souls missing, a whole community devastated, schools, preschools, homes, businesses. It's a whole community. I think people don't understand the devastation, but because we understand how it feels to hold your own son's casket, your own baby's casket, we want to help the families who have lost children. So we have our focus on the children right now. Those who have children in the burn units, those who have lost children. And so we're going to be financially cutting checks directly to these families. We also have the University of Utah Ohana. We have boys who are working at the U right now in the equipment room.
Yeah.
Two boys from Lahaina. We have a chef who's at the university cafeteria who is from Lahaina.
Awesome.
We have, they lost their homes. Their parents are now misplaced. They're picking up two or three jobs each so that they can support their families. You guys, it's a ripple effect. We have Kavika Casco, who lost his home. We have his grandpa's home. His parents are displaced. They're living at his house. We have his brother who lost their home. It's a ohana, right? So we are helping our University of Utah Ohana. And then we're also going to be helping the firemen. 17 of them lost their homes. While they were battling the fire, they saw their community.
Because
they saw their families while they battled. And yet they had to fight for their own lives as well. So that's how we're focusing. We've been asked to focus on the youth, especially, and to, in the rebuilding phase, they want us to rebuild sports because kids need to be kids right now. And so we have a few other things that are going to be happening in Utah where we're going to be collecting sports gear that they asked for, new sports gear. So we have a list of things like fishing poles, soccer balls, volleyballs, and we're collecting about 200 of each item just so that these kids can have something to do while their parents are grieving or their parents are figuring out where they're going to be living or where they're going to be working. Depression is happening right now, and
suicides,
attempted suicides, because they've lost everything. And we need to step in as a community, as people, to give them aloha, give them love, and help them rise from these ashes. And the aloha spirit is still alive in Hawaii. And we have so much to share. We just ask that you share a little bit with us as well.
So you guys are going to be at this game. I noticed that Kavika is here with us, a firefighter in Maui. I have a personal love for firefighters as well. I grew up in a firefighter family here in Salt Lake. My grandpa and my uncle, that was what they made their careers of here as well. And so I understand, you know, you see things that you can't unsee. And I think the magnitude and the scope of what happened in Maui is beyond anything most anyone has ever seen. And so, Kavika, I'm hoping that you can just kind of tell everybody, you know, what does it look like there right now?
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
I can.
Okay. I'm not sure if my video is up or not, but at least you can hear me. So right now, recovery efforts are on their way, searching for loved ones. I'm not sure, since I've been in Utah, if they have finished searching the burned areas. You know, it's been a long process. After the initial fire, we've been working with some USAR teams and dogs and, you know, just trying to be as thorough as possible to, you know, help find closure for loved ones. You know, it's very be hard at times, you know, knowing how many people were lost. But, you know, it's something that needs to be done. And, you know, we feel that heavy responsibility to, you know, help people find closure. It's definitely going to be a long healing process for the Lahaina people, the Lahaina community. But, you know, the Lahaina community is strong, you know, very family oriented. You know, we stick together. Just like the Utah football team, you know, all of us, you know, I've known Sape, Coach Witt, and a lot of guys for a long time. And, you know, they're my family, you know, for 20 plus years since the last time I was here. And, you know, the people are going to need help. They're going to need help to rebuild. They're going to need time to heal. But, you know, we got to make sure that the youth and the people of Lahaina, you know, can stay there and afford to stay there, you know, through this rebuilding process.
Now, Kavika, Sarah shared with me a photo of the fire truck that you were in, and it was completely melted. What happened that day that you were driving around and trying to get people to safety?
Yeah, so our company wasn't the first company on scene, but we were one of the initial response units. And basically, we went in to the lower part of Lahaina Luna, and we were trying to stop the progression of the fire, you know, so that it hopefully wouldn't hit the whole town. We entered a neighborhood. We tried attacking a couple of house fires, but the situation and the scene, you know, within the middle of this firestorm was too intense. We got called to evacuate. All the roads, all our egress routes were blocked, you know, with people trying to leave. Visibility was zero to none when the smoke would lay down. The heat was intense. The decision was made to basically shelter in place, which is basically a last resort, to try and wait out the fire as it blew by. We were very fortunate enough that one of my fellow firefighters actually made it out and came back in. You know, he made it out to an intersection. I realized that the rest of our company wasn't with him. He actually asked the PD unit who was at the intersection if he could use his SUV. He jumped in the police SUV and made his way back in. Got lost a few times, but eventually found us. And, you know, we didn't know he was gone. And the whole time we were sitting there, we were basically trying to conserve our air, trying to wait out this firestorm. A lot of us were, you know, some of us were texting our families, you know, not knowing if it would be the last time that we would have communications with them. And you know, out of the smoke, all of a sudden this police SUV rolls up and we see our firefighter in there, a fellow firefighter, and we all eventually load up. We get in the police SUV. We did have, at the time, one of our firefighters we were with was unconscious because he ran out of air and was consuming too much of the product of combustion in there. So we carried him into the SUV. Luckily, there's enough room for all eight of us. And from there, he found his way back out. You know, and that was just the beginning of the night for us. You know, actually day, that was, I'm not sure what time in the evening sometime. Luckily, the firefighter that went unconscious, he's safe. You know, he had some severe burns on his legs that he needed to get flown out to Oahu for treatment. But he's alive. He's with us. But after that situation unfolded, you know, we were there the rest of the night until the next day, 36 hours, you know, all night we were going in, grabbing people, driving people out to the shelter. You know, it was like a war zone. It was like a bomb went off and we were just doing the best that we could, trying to preserve structures that were still there. But most importantly, is preserve life. You know, that's something as a firefighter and first responders, that's our main priority. And we worked all through the night trying our best to do that.
This is for all three of you, obviously, University of Utah alumni, deeply, deeply connected to this football team that's been doing so great for the last two seasons. It's looking like, sounding like they're potentially going to have another great season in 2023. And of course, they're opening with this huge, huge game against Florida. First time ever this program has ever hosted an SEC team. And it happens to be one of the more name brand ones as well. What is it like for you guys to be able to go out on the field later today and get Maui some recognition and just kind of have everybody in that stadium aware of what's going on and hopefully willing to help afterwards?
Go ahead, Kavika.
You know, it's a true honor for me to be here. We're very grateful for the support and prayers that we've been getting from the whole state of Hawaii, from, you know, people across the globe who are trying to help. I'm grateful to be here to support the team and the family that I know that are here. Because the Utah Utes have been my family for over 20 years. And we just need your aloha right now. You know, the people behind are going to need, they're going to need help in the long run, which is why I'm here. I'm here to help support my family that's there.
Wow. From the Sape family and the Sape Foundation, me and my wife, nothing can be more important to have a good ohana, a good family like the University of Utah football. And I cannot be more proud to be making noise at this stage and to continue to let everybody know our people from Maui need your support. First of all, Kavika, and everybody on here know that we are going to win the game. That's a football in me. Let's get to the point here. We're going to get the W today.
Yes.
And grateful for everybody else that is going to donate their money. It's going to go 100% to our foundation to help our ohanas and our everybody in Maui. And I'm very grateful.
No, we just want to thank the University of Utah Athletics and the president as well for even allowing us to solicit this. But they saw the cause and they know that our Utah ohana in Maui need our help. And we are so excited to be at the game. Of course, it's going to be awesome being on that field, Utah Utes. And we hold up our flag proud. And so thank you again, Michelle, for having us. And thank you, University of Utah.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
Of course, of course. Now, before I wrap up and get us out of here, just make sure that everybody knows, where do they go to donate and get information?
They can visit us at sapefoundation.org. That's S-A-P-E foundation.org. And you can make a direct donation there. And 100% of the proceeds are being donated to Maui. Labale and I are covering their administration costs. And we're doing everything from our heart, because we know this is important. So sapefoundation.org. And the university is actually going to be running a campaign for us. They're going to have a little clip that they'll be playing on the Jumbotron. And there'll be QR codes that you can scan and donate to us as well.
Let's go, Utah. Let's make this happen.
Let's go, Utah.
Okay, thank you so much to Sarah Lavalle and Kavika for joining me. This will wrap up Crimson Corner for this week. Please, please, please go help the Sape Foundation raise money for Maui. And of course, go Utes. I'll be seeing y'all on the field real soon.
Woo! Go Utes!
Aloha!
Yeah!
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.